everyone. Good morning, good evening, whatever time you're listening to. And we're back, I was going to say in the studio, I wish, back in my bedroom, back in everyone else's house. But we have Jay, Kemal, and Aya with us today. And we're chatting about life. So Jay and I met, what, about 5 years ago now, I think, when we joined Jay's Kabbalah class. And Jay's made such an impact, such an impression that we kept him in our life. And occasionally I call for Jay's help and I usually get very brutally, very honest advice. And even though my initial response is a bit of a defensive one, and then you take it away and you sit with it and you know the man speaks the truth. He's a brilliant life coach. And so Jay's here with us. You guys have all met Aya both on Instagram and also on podcasts. She's well one of our wonderful mentors, and she brings in so much energy and so much wonderful warmth. And Aya's got a list of questions from herself and from some of you as well from the audience. So fire away. Hi, guys, and welcome.
Hi. It's been a while since I've been on a podcast, so I'm excited. First things first, Jay, what's Kabbalah?
Oh, good question. Well, first of all, hello, and thanks for having me. Always, always enjoy being in these conversations when it starts off with a question. So I'm usually involved in many. So what is Kabbalah? I mean, listen, we can speak about what Kabbalah is for many hours, but just to give you a quick maybe overview, it's a universal wisdom that's practiced by many from all over the world, from different cultures, faiths, and religions. So the one thing that I guess drew me towards the wisdom of Kabbalah was its universal aspect and in its universal ideas and concepts, which actually we all know and follow, right? How can I be more kind, more patient, more loving? How can I reveal the best of me? How can I be more self-aware of myself and others? So it really does hit on a real universal message. And I really feel it allows any person who is very connected to their own faith and religion, Islam, or Judaism, or Christianity. What I really love about Kabbalah is it allows you to connect to your own religion and faith in a more spiritual way. And that's why I really enjoy it and it drew to me. So, you know, some people call it a philosophy, a wisdom, but it's very ancient, very old. It goes back to our ancestors, talks about the Big Bang, Adam and Eve, and everything in between, and that how we're all connected, and that actually, ultimately, if I can sum it all up, we all really need each other.
We all need each other. So I'm going to tell you a little story about what's happened to me. So I'm 22, I'm a young girl, and I date around, I see, you know, I explore my options, but I get like very invested very easily, right? Like when I date, I'm like, okay, this is going to be my next husband until there's another next husband, right? but until like every time that happens and every time my heart gets broken, I'm like, oh my God, never mind. I'm never going to date ever again. I don't need anyone. I'm just going to be my own person. I don't need to. And yeah, you just said like, we kind of do need each other. Right now, I'm in the phase where I'm like, I don't need anyone. I'm just going to do me. And I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to do me. I don't need anyone. And I don't need a man to make me happy. Or I don't need friends to make me happy. I don't need this and this and this. Because I just get hurt when I do that. That's the phase I'm in right now. So that's like tune in perfectly in what you just explained. Like, how would I, such a negative space that I'm in though, I know that. Like, what's your advice to the girl and the guys in the world?
Exactly, right? I think, yes, there is a little bit of a different dynamic towards female and male and how we navigate, I guess, not just friendships, but intimate relationships, right? So first of all, thank you for sharing that, you know, that part of your personal life, because sometimes that's not the easy part, is actually exposing what's going on for us. And actually, That right there is what allows everyone listening or watching to actually be able to connect and relate. So that's what spirituality is what we're doing right now. And I think sometimes people just see it as, oh, we're having a chat, but actually it's much more than that. So a few things that you spoke about that I could talk about, and I think Kate knows this about me, that there isn't such a simple answer for such deep life, you know, experiences. And one of them is, you know, exploring your own feelings and emotions and your value and worth when you meet someone or you connect with someone or there's a chemistry of some sort. And, you know, playing on the idea that we all need each other, actually, why? Right? Why do we all need each other? Well, fundamentally, it's to get back to, I need people because I need to find me. The hard part is finding out who I am, what I am, what my essence is, what makes me drive. If I'm trying to do life, like you said, I'm going to do me, right? I can relate to a lot of people, even myself growing up in my 20s, saying, I don't trust anyone. You know, they don't understand me. They don't get me. I'm just going to get hurt. So I'm going to do me. But now I've come to realize, actually, in order for you to do you in its purity and its quality and its authentic self, you see, here's the difference, right? We need to play on two words. It's very important. And listen to this carefully. There's being needy of someone, neediness to fill a hole, to make me feel like I'm lovable, that I am worthy of your love and trust. And then there's the positive side of that, which is I need to be uncomfortable in certain situations like dating, so I can find out what it is about me that I like and that I'd like to share with the world or this guy or girl, right? But if I'm not dating and I'm not, I don't want to call it experimenting. I want to call it learning, right? Learning. And what are we learning? We're learning. For me, this is my number one rule. How can I practice and learn and make effort to continually be myself? Because the more I can connect to being myself in a dating situation, in a family gathering, in any circumstances, how can I practice being me? Why? Because then I'll understand what I like. Because if I don't understand me, well, all I'm ever doing is trying to be this chameleon, which changes many colors, and it adapts to the person's environment that's in front of me. Hence why we leave a date or a relationship feeling flat, drained, a little bit unhappy, frustrated, broken trust. I thought you were the one. Actually, that needs to be replaced. Because when we speak and we say, I thought you were the one, what we're really saying is, I thought I could lose myself in you. But here's the thing. We want to find ourselves, but instead we lose ourselves by giving all of ourselves into something or someone and then not feeling grounded and feeling really vulnerable and shaky. So whether you go into a new house, job, relationship, it's all about finding ourselves. What eggs do you like? What do you like about humanity? What do you like in a personality or a character? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What makes you upset? What makes you happy? And then you go into a dating situation feeling like, I'm going to be myself. And I'd rather be shown now that this person can't handle the light that I am projecting of my true self, because then they're not going to hang around. So better you leave now. And I can say, hey, universe, thank you so much. So there's more to it. I'm trying to give you the short versions to such depth of a question you've asked. So I hope that covers a little bit.
Yeah, no, it covers most of it. Like, I haven't thought about certain things in this way, like as in, I need to know what I like before I need to, you know, I need to please myself first and know what I want and what my strengths and weaknesses are before I jump into anything else. So I feel like a lot of people my age right now, we think that we know ourselves, like we think that we know who we are, but there's so much more that we can learn. Like if I look at myself last year and if I look at myself now, dating scene, family gathering, as you said, like I'm so much more different than how I used to be. And I feel like it's a process. So thank you. Thank you for your insight.
Beautiful. And just to add there, Aya, I think knowing who you are isn't an end goal. It's a constantly moving situation because you're constantly learning more and more about yourself. So there isn't, hey guys, guess what? Just wanted to announce, I know myself. I know who I am. I'm 21, 2 or 27. That's it. And then it's so limiting, right? Because even at me, at the young prime age of 21 as well, because that's how old I am, right, Kate? I'm also I'm also learning new things about me too. Limits, boundaries. Wow, I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know I was able to handle that. Thresholds. Wow. So learning who I am is a constant moving target. And that's okay. And that's why young people, when I say young people, I want to say anyone in their 20s, you need to absolutely remove the pressure from yourself, first of all. And secondly, tell another 20-year-old, hey, getting to know yourself is a lifelong journey of discovery constantly. So then it's like, oh, pressure's gone. So what new experiences can I enjoy this next year?
I just have less pressure now because I'm like, oh my God, I need to find me. I need to do me before the age of 30 or 35. Ooh. But, you know, I have my whole life to discover.
The beauty of it really is the fact that no matter how old you are, and I look at myself, I look at my parents, I look at anyone older than them, and it's still a learning process. It's still a process. Otherwise, we just wouldn't be here.
Yeah, about pressure. So again, like I'm in my third year of university and I do Japan studies. So it's quite, you know, a difficult degree. And I feel like all the people around me, everyone's so busy with, you know, university and everything. And one of my friends, I was talking to her yesterday and she comes up to me and she says, you know, Aya, every time I'm not doing something for university, I'm not doing an assignment, I'm not memorizing words, I'm not writing kanjis, I feel like I should be doing that. So whenever she's having fun or whenever she's working or doing something else, she has this pressure like, oh my God, I could do so much more in this time right now. So that pressure is really like also a negative space that she is in. And I feel like a lot of people my age are like so focused on that end goal, on that degree or on that, you know, job that they want. Yeah. And that life becomes less fun for them because the goal is everything.
Yeah.
How was that for you when you were young? What would you advise us to do? Like our breaks. Yeah, I know breaks are healthy, but breaks like, you know, can like, you can also get stuck in the break.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What a great question, first of all, because you know, life's pressures are everywhere, right? And I guess there's a few ways to understand pressure. And that's another thing before I forget. If you see me looking down, it's because I don't want to forget to say something that is like gold dust, right? For what you've said. So there's two things, right? If you think about kids in primary school for a second, before they, in their last year of primary school, what they do now is they have the most fun week before their final kind of tests and exams. They took my son to do the most amazing things for a whole week. Every day was something fun, and it was a week before their tests or whatever it was. But a week before that, my son would come home and say, Dad, all the kids are under so much stress and pressure. And one thing they kept saying, imagine this, they're 10, 11 years old. And you know what my son said? I said, why are they such under pressure, son? You know what he said? Well, a lot of them are worried that their parents would be upset with them. Ah, the magic word, parents. Now, this might not be true for everyone. However, it's true for most I speak to, okay? Well, regardless of your age, So I just gave you primary school kids, but there's many parents that I work with and teenagers who the conversation comes up, which is the pressure actually comes from parents. And the child then puts pressure on themselves to feel like they're going to let down their parents if I do not succeed. Now, what is success? Wow, I mean, let's not go into that, because for some, success is, hey, you got an A+. Hey, you got 100 out of 100. Actually, if you ask me what success is, I'm going to say, did you prepare? Did you make effort? Did you try your best? Did you give it your all to the very end? Then you succeeded. Now, when you get your result back, do you feel that you could have practiced more somewhere or made effort more somewhere? Yes. Where? Great. Amazing. You see, my son came home and he didn't feel any pressure. He was like, I don't know why they've got so much pressure. And that's when we got into it. It came from parents. So whether we're an adult in our 20s at university doing a degree, guess what? There is a part of us, whether your parents are physically here with you in this physical domain or whether they're watching from above, right, in a spiritual domain, there is a part of us that wants to make our parents proud. And we also have this idea that I know what my parents are like. And, you know, if there's other siblings or relatives that have done well, for me, being well isn't always about degrees. Well, for me, and success is, are you doing what you love? Are you happy to wake up with passion and enjoy what you're going to give your energy to every day? Then you are a successful person. It's because you're being true to yourself. You are following the authentic you. Now, there's a lot of pressure from parents around degrees and being successful, having a good job, having a good income, you know, building a house. So, you know, there's this idea that it creates a lot of pressure. Now, for me, having fun before you dive into an essay or a paper or an exam at uni is the best thing you can do. Actually, when you think about efficiency of time and energy and quality of enjoyment, you have to go and do something fun. But here's the trick, which you just mentioned, the challenge is, while I'm having fun or socializing or enjoying myself, I'm thinking how guilty I feel guilt. I could be doing a paper, an assignment, and I'm not. And if anyone finds out, like my parent or someone, or we're hard on ourselves. But it doesn't have to be like that. And for sure, if you can get out and practice, you have to practice. You know, you have to call someone. You have to physically leave your room or your dorm or whatever it is and take a break. It's just a small break, but so important. I can't express how important it is to give yourself a little bit more self-love, because pounding your brain all the way and creating that stress hormone, it is the chemicals that you'll create and the wiring that you'll create. It's not healthy. It's no good. So to anyone listening, regardless of your age, if you're a parent or a young person, you have to. It's probably the only way to be truly successful is having it all with balance. But that's the hard part.
It boils down and brings it to boundaries and what's okay and what's not okay and what's acceptable and knowing yourself and knowing what works for you. And you kind of have to start now. Because otherwise, then pressure from, am I going to get into this high school? Am I going to get into this university? Am I then going to get the degree that I need? Am I getting the job that I think I need or want, or what, the one that looks good? Am I going to be able to buy this house in this specific neighborhood? Am I going to be able to send my kids? And it just never ends.
Right.
It's this hamster wheel of a life. And do we want a life like that? Or can we actually aspire and hope for something better? But then again, as Jay says, it's constant practice and it's constantly reminding ourselves why, you know, the question of why am I doing this has to be asked so many times a day. Yeah. Why am I doing this?
Yes, absolutely. Like a self-audit, right? Why am I doing it? Or who am I doing it for? What's it working towards? And am I enjoying it? Am I having fun? And I'm not saying that everything, you know, needs to be fun and laughter. Yes, there is hard work involved, right? Hard graft, got to put the hours in. Of course.
The planet of action.
Of course, we are. This is where we are. However, at the same time, you know, you got to check in with self. And to check in with self, you first have to practice sort of kind of talking to yourself, knowing yourself. What does that conversation look like? What am I doing? Why am I doing this? Or bounce off ideas with someone. Hey, say, you know what? I just wanted to bounce some ideas. You know, I was thinking, why am I doing this degree? I mean, I've been doing it for like a year now, 2 years, 3 years. I'm just thinking, is that really what I want to do? Or am I just not doing it the right way? Do I need to create a bit more enjoyment in my journey? And if so, could you help me out? What are some fun things I can do to help me through this journey of crazy degree?
Yeah. No, this is definitely helpful. But again, as I said, I understand it in theory, but now to like put it into action is something that I'm going to go tomorrow. I'm going to go in and tell everyone, listen, I did this podcast yesterday. I got some advice for y'all.
Yeah. And by the way, Aya, the best way to retain something is definitely by resharing it with someone else. 100%. But then you have to definitely action it for yourself, right?
Yeah.
That's the best way, actually, to actually do it. Otherwise, it's just information, just noise that just it spins around our head. It actually gets cemented into your essence once you actually start doing it. Amazing. Love it.
Yeah. So you were talking about families and pressure, right? Yes, so me, I come from a very, let's say traditional family. I come from a very traditional family. I'm Moroccan, you know, born and raised in the Netherlands. So two different cultures. I grew up, my mom is religious. She's very religious, practicing Muslim. Yeah. And I've been wearing my hijab for 8 years, was wearing my hijab for 8 years now. I took it off last year. With that pressure and that, you know, what you just said, the parents and, so for example, I cannot move out until I get married or until I, you know, certain things, but how can we shift that pressure? Like other people, because I know for 100% that people are listening to this who are feeling the same way. We're also children of traditional parents living in a Western society who want a little bit of both, you know? How do we deal with that pressure? Because I always think like, oh, my mother came here. She was 21. She came, you know, she came to live here. She sacrificed so much for me. Now I have to do this. I have to do this and this and this in order to make her proud and in order to keep up my family name and in order to, you know, this and this and this degree. You know, job, husband, kids, maybe I don't even want all of that, you know, how.
Right. Wow. Like, wow. Of course you're absolutely, maybe I don't want some of the things that I feel pressured to honor you as my mother or father or parents because of the sacrifices that you made. So now there's almost like, and I'm not saying every parent does this, but it can also be an unspoken pressure. Like you just described, I know the journey my mother went through, for example, to sacrifice and really give everything so that I could have a life. Now, how am I going to repay her? She hasn't said anything to me, maybe. She hasn't been banging on my head and telling me, you better, this is what I did for you. Maybe it's just silently inside of you because you know her journey and you feel now, oh gosh, I have to honor, you know, and be respectful of her faith, the religion that we've been born into, and, you know, make a life for myself that's deemed like I'm taking an opportunity, like I'm really taking advantage of the sacrifice that was made. So yes, I completely understand what you've just said and where you're coming from. And I've actually had these conversations with young people, teenagers in their 20s, feeling the pressures of their faith, their religion, and the traditions that come with it from their parents. And it takes a little bit more work than normal, because, you know, when parents have a way of living for a certain while, and it goes on like that for their whole childhood, whether it's wearing certain garments to represent your faith or religion, and all the way into adulthood, they continue it. So it's almost like it's become a little robotic, as in like a little bit of a routine. And this is what I said earlier in the beginning. I talked about the spirituality inside of religion is what really excites me. So the conversation between child and parent is, first of all, you know, one of appreciation, you know, breaking down that wall or barrier, if there is one, you know, really expressing from the heart how much you love and respect the journey that your parents have gone through and what they've continued to do till today, so that you can do what it is that you need to do in the world. However, saying that, you know, you've given me this opportunity, I'm sure you want me to make the most of it, right? And for me to be a strong, independent, you know, stable in all sense of the word, financially, physically, emotionally, you know, connected to faith in my heart. So I don't want to limit myself to the knowledge that I can learn from people, other cultures, you know, books, understanding other people's, you know, faith and religion, experiencing the world, traveling, you know, so that I can give my husband, if I want to be married and not forced into it, or my children, if I want children, to give them even more than you gave me. So it's almost like a cycle, an up cycle. It's like mother, parents here, then me, and then children. It's like, I want us, our generation, our family tree to progress to a point where, you know, our children, your grandchildren can look back and say, wow, look at our family tree. Look where they started and look where they just took off and built paths for themselves and others. That was amazing. That's what inspires me, Mum. You know, I want to connect to the love and the magic of our faith. And then, you know, for me, I love Rumi, for example, and Shabs of Tabriz, and their relationship. Right. And I just, it's so spiritual. I find Rumi the spiritual part of Islam. But that's just my opinion, right?
100%.
That's just my opinion. Others might say no, but that's okay. Difference of opinion is okay. But the difference is, can I still love and respect you for having a difference of opinion? Yes. Can I love you even though you're Jewish or Muslim or Christian, or even if you believe in nothing and you just like science and atoms? Can we still connect and be friends? Yes, we can. And this is the spirituality inside of you and me that we can all have with our parents. Whatever their faith is, or whatever their, because you want to speak to the soul of a person. You want to speak to the soul of your parent. You want to talk to the ego, to the physical aspect of someone. And when two souls are speaking, all of a sudden, it's not about what religion we were born into, or what we have to wear, or the traditions we have to follow. All of a sudden, it becomes a lot more. It becomes something different. It becomes a deeper connection. And now there's almost an understanding, which is, oh, I this idea of success now looks a little bit different. It's not what I thought it was. Again, this is just my short version.
No, yeah, I really love that, because I was talking to my sister the other day, and my mom, she was asking me what was the last podcast about that I did with Kate, and I explained to her all the different love languages and how each of her kids have different love languages. And at first she was like, that's such a stupid concept, like love is just love. And I was like explaining to her, like, you know, I like words of affirmation, my oldest sister likes acts of service, my other sister likes this and this. And then suddenly last week I got a message from her saying, I love you. And I was like, oh, she took it quite literally, words of affirmation. But like, I feel like once we explain it to them carefully and, you know, trying, as you said, connecting to a soul instead of the ego, I feel like slowly but surely it can be like that. But it's the unspoken pressure that gets me the most, because she's never told me you have to wear this or you have to do this or, you know, you have to repay me for what I've done. But as you said, that unspoken pressure is just, that's yeah, that's on me.
That's on you. That there's no fluffy stuff around it. I mean, beautiful and love that your mom didn't give you the verbal pressure. And therefore, you know, and I don't blame parents for this. And I don't know if she had this conversation with you, right? And we don't have to get too in depth. But sometimes parents who do not give you verbal pressure can also, so that you don't create your own pressure by saying, hey, listen, I want you to go out into the world and shine your true light and be yourself and really connect and ground the best parts of you and be true to yourself. And sometimes parents don't know how to do that part. They forget to do that part, or they don't think that part's not important, but it really is. Because what happens sometimes is, in your scenario, like many, we automatically just create that pressure, right? I have to repay, I have to do more, oh no. So, I mean, yes, you know, you said something which I thought you were about to say, which is we almost have to guide our parents.
Yeah.
Okay, we do. We have to guide them a little bit into broadening their hearts and their horizons and their awareness. I definitely guide my parents. I don't do it maybe in a condescending way, but there is a way that we need to do it. We need to soften them with our approach and our words. And eventually you will see that they will be your biggest fans and they'll push you to highest heights that you couldn't do on your own.
So it doesn't matter what age, because you're doing it now too. It's not just us.
Do you know what? The stuff that I hear from my parents now, who are in their 60s, they didn't know how to say it when I was a young boy or a teenager. But guess what? With all my guidance and support in how I'm being and how I communicate with them, now in their 60s, they're doing stuff that they didn't do 30, 40 years ago, which is, hey, you can do it, you know, keep going. You're amazing. You know, wow, I'm so proud of you. Like, those words wouldn't leave their mouths. But now they can. So it is our job to guide our parents, and it can take 30 years.
It's very true. And I think remembering that it does take a while. It's not a quick fix. It does take sometimes years, sometimes decades. But slow change is stable, and solid change is there. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing when you see the people who you initially had so much conflict with, and then suddenly they do become softer, and suddenly they do tell you all the things you so desperately wanted to hear when you were 21 or 22. Totally. And now it's there, and it's just pouring out of them.
Totally. It's okay. They didn't get it from their parents, right? So
exactly.
It hurts, but
So what I wanted to add to that, we had a session yesterday, a conversation with all of the mentors on the subject of confidence, true confidence. What is true confidence versus pride versus arrogance and boundaries? And we were talking about getting to know ourselves and what we, once you know yourself and what our values are, we can work and live according to those. And then it becomes, you know, the conversation of whether verbal and spoken or implied, or I have sacrificed this and that for you. You now owe me. And for you to feel like you actually do owe someone. Once you know what your values are, you understand that you don't necessarily have to minimize yourself to live according to anybody else's values. And that could be your closest people. Your parents, your kids, your best friend, your husband, your wife, it doesn't matter. We all have our unique set of values, and we have to honor those respectfully, living in a group with other people as well.
So just to add to what Kate was saying, You know, I think one of many life's challenges is not swapping, I think, our own unique authenticity for anything else. I think that should be our focus, is my own unique authenticity should not ever be compromised in order to, you know,
please anyone else.
You're right, diminishing my own values and true self doesn't actually help anyone, does it? Because if I dim my light and I become less smiley, less confident for you, well, I'm not helping you, I'm just making you more comfortable. And actually, that's why I love being around people who have such a deep connection to wisdom and spirituality, because they're full of light. Their energy just vibrates and pulsates. So when you go near them or you talk to them physically, you feel like a little mouse. And that's okay. It doesn't mean I don't value myself or I'm less. It just means, wow, this girl or guy or person is beaming with light. And what do I do next? Wow, there's more. There's a revealment of something that I'm lacking or need to work on, and that's okay. So I love that. I love that you explored that yesterday and opened it up.
I had that when I saw you for the first time, Jay, at the launch.
We met recently.
Yeah, I was talking to, I don't remember, I think it was Cam or Tatiana, and I was like, oh my God, I think that's Jay. And they were like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, should I go say hi? And they were like, yeah, why are you, what's wrong? Like, I feel like what you just explained is like the wisdom and the spirituality. That's how I look up to you. Yeah. And then whenever I speak to you or whenever I see you, if it's online or in real life, I'm just like, okay, how can I be better tomorrow? Like, how can I, you know, then like everything you say just like replays. And I'm like, oh yeah, remember when he said this and this and this. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to be for each other. Like, you know, it's like whether you're being that for little children or sort of a friend, you know, that person where they can feel, wow, I really look up to you, I'm inspired by you, but not from the place of just needing to take from you, actually from a place of, like you just said, I'm going to go and do better. Not because I rely on your energy and your light and your words. I mean, that's my biggest fear sometimes is, you know, it is giving to people in a way where they just become reliant on. And that's why I'm a little bit harsh, Kate, I think. I don't want people to get attached to my energy so that they feel that they can't do it on their own. I want people to feel whatever they feel from me and then go off and go, wow, guess what? Jay believes in me, or Jay believes I can do this, so I trust me that I can. If he believes in me, I need to believe in myself. Good, I'm going to go and do it. I can say hello to that person I've been ignoring for 20 years. And that's sometimes someone's biggest challenge, right? Forgiving someone, saying hello, saying I'm sorry. So we can all be that light for everyone.
Saying I'm sorry can be hard sometimes for me.
For everyone. Why? It's hard for everyone. Who finds it easy to say sorry? I mean, and mean it, should I say? I mean, we find it easy to say sorry and not mean it. Because what is an apology? And I can go off on this for hours, but I won't. What is an apology? Apology is actually committing to never doing it again. That's an apology.
Yeah.
If you've said sorry, you have an unspoken contract now, which is now that you're never going to do that again. So if people really understood the pressure and took on the responsibility and the accountability of sorry, we would think twice before saying it. Because you understand what you're saying? You're saying you'll never do it again. So what happens? We fall. Happened again. So now what happens? I lose trust in you. Your sorry means nothing. Same with I love you. You mentioned it earlier when your mom said I love you. And I always pick up on that. And I'll tell you why. Because saying I love you is something that it doesn't allow us to go any deeper, and we hide behind the words I love you. What does that mean? Saying I love you because goes into a whole new world of love. I love you because I love you. You are great. You are amazing. What? Great at what? Why am I great? Amazing. What is amazing? So it's like we can live on the surface of emotional and spiritual depth, on the surface of it. And taking it one step deeper for all of us is saying, I appreciate you just having you in my life. Well, why do I appreciate you? If you let someone know what it is about their essence and their value that you actually value, it can cement within that person and they can live it more. But if you don't tell the person the why, well, then they can't own it. That's why we do it with children. You don't just tell children, well done, good job, that's amazing. It's the same with all humans, especially children though. You need to tell them what they did well so that they can continue doing it. So again, to digress, but all very much connected.
There's so much more to unpack, so much more to add. It's just, it's a never ending conversation. So I have a feeling we'll have to continue. We'll have to come back.
Yeah.
I got a feeling we'll have questions from the audience as well, going deeper into what we've touched upon. And that's wonderful. So we welcome you guys to write to us, to message us, to speak to Aya directly if you guys know her, to speak to me directly if you know me. And if you don't know any one of us, speak to us directly anyway, because we would love to hear your thought process as well. Do get in touch. Do you follow us on Insta? Do give us feedback. It's so important because we base our conversations a lot of the time on what's important out in the world. So with that, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Masha, for starting this beautiful podcast. And it's a privilege to continue. So have a beautiful day, everyone. Bye-bye.